For those of you who might not have been here early enough, I left my Bible and my notes at home. So as a family, you guys shared with me and gave me some paper and Julie lent me her Bible. She could have gotten out of all of that, I guess, by saying, well, there's no Bible and can't have any paper and you guys could go home early, so blame her if it's long. My son reminded me the last time I was thinking how short my sermon was, and he said to me, and he said something like, I don't know. And so I questioned him. I says, what do you mean? He said, well, I said, look, we wouldn't have been back at the grapes by then if it hadn't been such a short message. And he reminded me, he disagreed with me once again because he didn't think it was all that short. We had had grapes that day, obviously. He said, it's amazing they weren't raisins. So with that in mind, I will try to keep it a little bit shorter. Hey, your family can be tough critics, believe me. Am I on now? Can I roam around? Can I do all those things? You know what? I did want to take a mention here. Take a mention, yes. In the last month or so, so many of you have endured so much. It's an emotional thing for me to even talk about. This little group, this part of the body, has gone through a great deal, and yet you're still here. You're still going down that road. And those are important things for all of us. And when we approach this Passover season, I hope that we remember to hug each other, to give each other the hope, the peace that remains within every one of us with the belief system that we have. So many people are out there today getting ready to do whatever they're going to do. It doesn't make a great deal of sense to me. In fact, I'd pretty much forgot about all of it. When you're living in downtown Estancia and you're not actually out in the workforce any longer, it's a great way to be. You become oblivious to everything, and I guess that's why you forget things, such as your Bible and your notes. I don't know. I'm sort of embarrassed, but I figured I'd fess up so people wouldn't harass me as much. I'm sure it'll come. I do have a question for all of you. Mr. Reynolds started off his message with a question, and it was really good to see him up here again and to know indeed that, again, back in the saddle, and that's where we all need to be. So, but my question is this. Can I roam around? I can. Thank you so much. You're a nice guy. My question is, you see this book? My borrowed book? How many of you have one of those today? And it's not a trick question, believe me. It's really not. It's not a question that is going to cause anybody any problems, but I want you to answer this question whether you have this book or not today, and that is this. Do you think that this book is truly the inspired Word of God? You do? Okay. Second question. Do you think there are lessons that can be learned from this book, from Genesis to Revelation? Yes? Good. Thirdly, are you part of the family of God? Do you believe that you are a member of the family of God? These are not trick questions. These are questions to just get you to maybe think about inspired Word of God, lessons to be learned, and if those lessons are put out there, who are they to be learned by? Most of all, the body of Christ, the family of God. Now, I want you to remember those three questions, if you will, as we begin and as we continue throughout this sermon today. Those three questions, I hope you will continue to remind yourself and ask yourself when you can those questions as you begin your preparation for Passover, if you haven't begun already, but even if so, you've got some time. We have a while before Passover begins. So if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to read about examining oneself. Now, these are scriptures that you are very familiar with, no doubt. But I want you to look at them once again. I want to look at them again. Can I move this back? I'm about to eat this. Or how about I do this? No, I can't do that. I'm too weak. In verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on that same night,
in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, I want you to remember the Passover. I want you to remember how and what you were doing when you have taken in the Passover. And if you haven't had that experience yet, try to keep this in mind as you begin that process which takes you to the Passover and takes you through that particular meal. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." This is the covenant that you and I share. It's his blood. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ is saying, remember me. Remember what's going on here. Remember the sacrifice. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." That's where you are now. That's who you were about. You're standing up there and saying, "I'm the reminder. I'm it. I'm the reminder of the sacrifice. This is what I remember because he died for me. And he now gives me this privilege and this opportunity to say, here I am, listen to me. Let me share this with you until the great God eternal returns. Jesus Christ." Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Simply meaning, many have died. You know, it's an interesting thing, and I mentioned it a couple of, I don't know, two messages ago. We talked about healing, and we looked at this. I want to look at this and try to broaden this concept, if we could, and to look at the reasoning behind what's going on here and why we need to examine ourselves, not rely on other people. Make certain that we know what's going on in our lives. Of course, Passover season is this time of introspection, and it is a time for awareness. So what do? I bring in a verse in Hosea. Hosea 4, verse 6. Let me read it to you. We'll be in Hosea, so if you want to go ahead and turn, we'll be there at some point, guaranteed. But in Hosea 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest." You see what it was saying over here? It says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." That's in 1 Corinthians 11:26. Now all of a sudden we see that God's saying, look, if you turn yourself against my knowledge, if you were destroyed because of it, I will destroy you because of it, is what he's really saying. I won't allow you to be my priest. In other words, you're not that representative any longer. "Because you have forgotten the law of God, I also will forget your children." That's quite a verse. Really, when you think about it, he's saying here, you're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Now, I will suggest to you that much of that is because we are ignorant. Because we turn our back against what he's putting out and allowing us to understand, but rather we'd rather go towards another place. But he's saying, not only will you be rejected as my representative, you will be forgotten, and your children I will forget. Well, those of us who have children, those of us who have experienced parenting, know how difficult that would be. How hard that is to endure.
And yet, we have responsibilities here. I would ask that you turn to Proverbs 2. We're going to get back to Hosea, so you might keep a marker in there. Proverbs 2. Because when you think about the lack of knowledge, well, how do we change that? That is to accrue knowledge. This is what we would do, wouldn't it be? I mean, this is how we try to make that change. And again, when we think about the Passover season, we do think about change. We do think about those things that reassess value in our lives. And we have to know that these are important to us. So what is the value of what we are about to do? Well, in Proverbs 2, it says, the value of wisdom is this, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord, that healthy respect, that understanding that because of this last statement we read in Hosea 4, it seems to take on some real significance here when he says, because of lack of knowledge, my people die. You notice he didn't say, those people over there. He did not say, Satan and his demons, in essence, die. Although we understand that part of things. He's talking about his people. We all nodded in agreement. We are his people. So this is tremendously significant to us sitting here today. And I bring this up because of the Passover season. I bring this up because I think we need understanding. I bring this up because I have seen in my own family the loss of a loved one. This is a physical element, but we're talking about something that takes us past that into eternity. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about success within our own being. To be that messenger, to be that priest, to be that person who says, yes, I embrace the sacrifice. Yes, I embrace the law of God. I look into the Levitical law of God and I see his holy days described. I see his eating laws prescribed or described that are not just that which applies spiritually, but physically. Because you see, physicality does become spirituality. Otherwise, why the road trip, as we heard about last week? That was such a beautiful message. We've heard such great messages of late. We've heard a great deal about the creation. We heard about how many things were put in proper order in order for the earth to exist, with Mr. Green's message. A message so far beyond my ability to comprehend, actually. And then we heard about that road trip we're on when we're sitting here or in this world, on this orb, and how beautiful it truly is to be a part of the family. But it requires effort. Lift up your voice for understanding. Ask. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand, in verse 5, the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. Key word again, knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Let me read that again. Then you will understand righteousness in verse 9 and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. So I want you now to understand how important knowledge is, how important and how pleasing it is to God that you have this knowledge and this wisdom. With that in mind, I ask you to turn back to Hosea 4, where God charges Israel. Hosea 4. Let's begin to read in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. Okay? Is he bringing that charge against us today? We want to say we're part of spiritual Israel. We want to say that we've been brought out of Egypt. And he brings this charge. He says, listen, there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery. Adultery sure has been in the news lately, hasn't it? Don't want to be a governor right now, at least for the state of New York. It's a sad state of affairs, really, and please do not take me as one who has not sinned or done things that I shouldn't have done or anything of that sort. But the fact of the matter is, it is startling when it puts someone out of office that way, and the next guy has to get up and say, here are my dalliances. Got to bring that out forth right now so that you guys will understand who and what I am. That's a sad state of affairs that we live in one sense. And yet, this is going to go on, and it has gone on. We're going to read about that. What do we do with it? They break all restraints with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. There comes a point here when we do so many physical things to our world, too, where the pollution is just such. It's an interesting thing. You keep hearing, just as a sidebar, about how everyone ought to be taking fish oil. You hear that a lot. Take fish oil, take fish oil. And then you start hearing about, well, wait a minute, don't take that fish oil because it's polluted. You've got to go way out in the middle of nowhere in the Nordic Sea, supposedly, and find these clear and clean waters in which these fish dwell. Sad commentary once again upon our environment. Just look at the smog on a cold day in Albuquerque or whatever. Just look at the smog. We've created much in our life that shouldn't be there. Now let no man contend in verse 4 or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day, and the prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. Now I find that very interesting. That's quite a statement here. Because what it is saying is those religious leaders of this world, of this country, are sharing the same environment. Oftentimes. Now, that's not everyone. But that is saying you need to be a fruit inspector. You need to understand what's going on. You need to be aware and not just trust everything willy-nilly. You know, prove all things. It's an essential part of the existence that we have today. Apparently, forever. Hosea was written 8 BC. And look at poor Hosea. He was told to go out and get married to a lady of the evening, and he had to deal with many things. But it was, in a way, discussing and describing the environment that was being seen here. And this is the charge that God makes with Israel. Is it not the same in many ways now? Therefore you shall stumble in that day. Well, let's go to verse 6. My people are destroyed for, again, what? My people are destroyed. We read it before, but let's reemphasize. For lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest of mine. Once again, it's reiterated. Because you have forgotten the law of God, I will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. In other words, there was never a change. There's never this, look, we've got to do this 180. It continues on. I will change their glory into shame. Again, God's charge towards his people. Again, his people. His people. Not someone else. Remember, we all nodded, yeah. His people. Believe me, I'm not sitting here in judgment, and I'm not sitting here looking at anyone. That's not my point. My point, though, is to realize where we live, to realize the environment we're in, and to realize how susceptible we can be. And how, if there's need to change, let's do it. That's all. I might as well talk to myself about all of these things, because that's definitely who needs to change. You need to ask yourself, do I need to change? If you don't, great. You're ahead of the game. You're ahead of me. But it is the season. It is the season to be aware. It's something that continues on, or should be continuing on, 365 days a year. But the fact of the matter is, this is the time when God says, stop the road trip for a little bit. And let's look at where we are and where are we headed. What are we going to do? They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquities. In verse 9, and it shall be like a people. It shall be like people, like priests. In other words, it's all going to look the same. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased to obey the Lord. Harlotry, wine, new wine, enslave the heart. My people ask counsel from wooden idols. We could turn to Jeremiah 10. We always cite that around Christmas time, don't we? We look at that about cutting the tree down, decking it with silver and gold. Sort of an idol. We look at this again, and there is this view again of this wooden idol. People are looking towards these other things. They're looking towards some answer that isn't relevant when you really get down to the nitty-gritty of life. Ask someone who's lost someone that they care about. Ask someone that's dealing with illness. Ask someone who is unable to do all the things that they need to do in order to support their family. Then it becomes very specific. It becomes very real. It becomes very tangible. And yeah, you can argue that life is temporal. Yeah, you can argue that life is going to end soon. Whatever you want to say. But the fact of the matter is, we are in it right now. And we have to deal with it. You see, the charge is upon Israel. They offer sacrifices, verse 13, on the mountainside, and burn incense on the hill under oaks, poplars, terebinths, because their shade is good. It's almost as though they're hiding from the realities of what their life should be. They're hiding from knowledge. They're hiding from judgment. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. Have you ever noticed when, oftentimes, I realize that I'm different. Ask Karen about lots of things. I end up with a lot of experiences in life going, is that all there is? I wanted to do this so badly, and this is all there is to it? My daughter's smiling at me, so I guess she understands my view. Well, I don't think she embraces my view necessarily all the time, but she knows that I have moaned this. Is that all there is to whatever? And then, of course, the song goes, let's keep dancing. In other words, you continue on. But the reality is no. I think we need to stop. I think we need to reassess. I think we need to understand that all those things that are out here that we thought would make us so happy end up with death. That's what he's saying here. If we don't assess where we are and who we are, we end up being caught up in all of this. and it's not relevant to us anymore because we will not succeed in this life. For Israel is stubborn like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. That's an interesting statement. Let him alone. Don't follow. Don't chase. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. The wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Eventually called into judgment. Eventually the charge is stated. Visualize yourself in a court of law. Visualize yourself as a defendant. And the charge is made to you, on you. And now it's your turn to defend yourself. But is that all there is? I wanted to be just like everyone else. I couldn't stand the pressure. I couldn't be that different. Well, you know what? It isn't really that different. If you're standing up for God, you're standing up for what's right. So often, as we see in a court of law, people are forced to perjure themselves to try to get out of whatever they've been charged with. And every time we sin, in one sense, we commit perjury against the law of God. Why? Because we don't know better? Well, we could argue ignorance is no excuse for the law, but most of the times we do know better. But we fall short because of our weaknesses. We will never be perfect. I understand that. We can argue that all day long as well. But the reality of it is you and I need to be working towards and striving towards the mark, not falling short. Hosea 6 says in verse 1, it's a call to repentance. And really, that's what Passover is all about, isn't it? In some ways, not completely, obviously, but it's a call to repentance. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. Remember, over here, when we read verse 6 of 4 again, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. The reality is God allows this to happen. He goes over here again and says, we were torn in verse 1 of 6, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up. And of course, Easter is tomorrow, and lots of people are trying to get that 3 days out of Friday to Sunday. And I say, when you figure that one out, let me know. Be interesting. Verse 3 says, let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. A rancher's kid knows how important rain is. A rancher's kid knows how it replenishes the earth. A rancher's kid certainly knows the joy of it. A rancher's kid certainly knows how cleansing it can be. I bet you know too, don't you? The reality is that is to bring us a refreshing time. Repentance is refreshment, really. It's renewal. It's a cleansing. It gives you hope. It gives you peace. It gives you contentment. It sets you free. It turns you away from that which the world has condemned you of and the great God eternal, more importantly, has condemned you of. I don't care what people say. So often people want you to do whatever. I have had people say to me, just say yes. Just say yes to this gym. But did it make me feel better? Or would it make them really feel better? Really, no. At the end of the day, they know, as I do. Remember, repentance, it's not just reversal. It's absolute cleansing. It's absolute hope. It's absolute peace. It's a change that all of us need. Who has not fallen short of the glory, I would ask you? Verse 6 of Hosea 6 says, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice." He desires mercy. He desires to give it to you. "And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." In other words, you can pay lip service to it. I was raised Roman Catholic, and we lit a lot of candles, okay? And I don't mean that rudely, but we did. And there was that time when you would go and you could even put your money in. They would collect. It was like alms, you might say. They would collect for it, and you could light this candle and you could pray about something or someone or whatever. This kind of reminds me of that. It's like, yeah, you can do all of these things. And, of course, other people, when you talk about the Lenten season and people, I worked with a lot of people that embrace Lent, and things would suddenly change. Well, I'm not smoking for 40 days, and I kind of wish some of them had smoked. It would have been a little bit easier to be around them, I can tell you that. Or I'm giving up chocolate, or I'm whatever. I'm not going to cuss for 40 days. Whatever it might be. I mean, I have heard some of those things that I'm sharing with you. And I don't say that in an actual rude way. But the point of it is he's saying all of these things that you think you're doing, all of these things that you think you're doing and sacrificing to me are of no relevance. What is more important? The knowledge of God, more than burnt offerings. That's what's more important to him. That you know him. That you know him. After all, really, vernacular of the day, it might have already been passed, but get real. Do you really think there is a sacrifice that you could do that surpasses God giving of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that you would have everlasting life, that you would not perish? Oh, yeah, I quit cigarettes for 40 days. How about that one? Where does that get me? Does that get me out of purgatory? Where? I mean, really, get the realistic point of view. Assume that knowledge is greater than burnt offerings. But like men, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers and defiled with blood. As bands of robbers lie in wait for a man, so the company of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. Remember, again, he's not referring to something outside his chosen people. He's talking about, I have seen something really horrible here. There is the harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed for you when I return the captives of my people. Well, how do we change some of those things? How do we protect ourselves in this world? What do we do? Let's turn to Ephesians 6, please. I wanted to read to you scripture that Mr. Reynolds also shared with you. At least he shared the first two verses. If you would permit me, I'd like to read those again to you. You might want to make a note of this, or you can turn to. I sort of got ahead of myself here, but I would like to turn to 2 Timothy and opposed to Hebrews 11, I guess. Hey, the faith chapter. And 2 Timothy 3. Now, I know I've mentioned this scripture, a portion of scripture, many times, but I think it's becoming more and more prevalent to me every day. I pray that it is in actuality. When I see what's going on in our society, when I see the political mess, when I see the realities of man afflicting man, how many murders have there been in Albuquerque in the last couple of days? There's been at least 3 murders in the last week. People, drive-by shootings, this and that. We live in the 3rd most violent state in the nation, my understanding, at least for 2006. I don't know if they have any later statistics, but that's what we face. We don't know when we walk out sometimes what we will be looking at. But it says, not only perilous times, but there are perilous men. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Does this sound like anything we see in our society? Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's what's fascinating to me. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Look at me, is what they're saying. And yet, we don't really appreciate the knowledge that God has given us, at times at least. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sin, led away in various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of what? Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but if I remember correctly, in Ecclesiastes 12, that's the last chapter, correct? Ecclesiastes 12. At the end of the chapter, Solomon talks about how much information there is out in this world. In essence, he says, as I read it, strip it away. Get down to the basics. Understand that knowledge is essential for you when you talk about godly knowledge, but all of that stuff that's out here, you probably really don't need, do you? And yet, we seem to seek it so diligently. A form of godliness, and yet really not seeking his knowledge. So let's now turn to Ephesians 3, please. Ephesians 6, I'm sorry, Ephesians 6. I think there is one way, obviously, that we can benefit. When we cope with this world and we try to address the issues of knowledge and we try to address our ability or lack thereof of living in this world and how hard it can be at times, there are some answers that I think we can see here in Ephesians 6. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done so, all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Sounds like we've got some work to do, doesn't it? Sounds as though we need to study. It sounds like we need to pray. It sounds like we need to fast. It sounds like we need to meditate on his word. Strip away all this other stuff that's going on and refocus. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all those fiery darts of the wicked ones. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. persevere. And for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel rather than that which leads to nowhere. For which I am an ambassador in chains. I think maybe today, if you would allow me not to really rewrite scripture, obviously I wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't. But I would suggest to you, we could put there, remember one of our questions, do you believe you're part of the family of God? Do you believe you're part of it? We might say here, for which I am a part of the family of God, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Knowing that my people perish is what the great God Eternal said, for lack of knowledge. And yet he provides us with all this information as to how we can protect ourselves against the wiles of the devil, against the wiles of this world, how to protect ourselves against all those things that you and I face daily. This group has faced much in just the last few months. It's not been easy. You face physical trials. You've faced spiritual trials. It ain't over yet, unfortunately. You will face more. When I got that call about my brother-in-law on Friday afternoon about a month ago, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe what had just happened, in the sense that here it was, and we had to face it. And we had to do those things necessary to complete that task, which was to alert everyone to begin the process of grief and pain. You guys know. You know about illness. You know about money issues. But the reality is, you're still to be part of that family, an ambassador which speaks up and says boldly, as you ought to speak. That's who you are. 1 Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4. Verses 17 through 19. The reason why I mention this is a reminder of who you are. I want you to know that who you are, and to realize as you begin your Passover preparation, remember this. For the time has come for judgment to begin on the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Luke 4. Remember, man does not live by bread alone. Luke 4, please. Just to remind you that you are not facing anything that our Savior did not face. We can't, at the end of it all, say in judgment, but we had to endure what even Christ didn't endure. We had to endure things that he couldn't understand because he didn't live in the 21st century. But it says here, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into wilderness. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. I don't think any of us have faced anything like that. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, remember when you go through these trials and these tribulations, and when you face all these things that you're going to face, remember this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's the gift he's given us. He's given us the knowledge. We need not perish because of lack of knowledge. He has given us much hope. So the final question for today is, will we follow the will of our Father and cope with what has been put before us? Life has a way of doing that, doesn't it? To look at our temporal existence and be aware that it will end. But where does it lead? If the return of Christ isn't before our lifetime ends, we know that we will lie in wait in resurrection. We will sleep in the peace of his resurrection. Remember, judgment is upon the house of the Lord. So what will you do? Go the way of the world? Can't deny it. In the reality that we have been given the opportunity to achieve the knowledge necessary for eternity. May we all have a spiritually uplifting Passover season, one which helps us and edifies us and causes us to live his will and his way.